News Talk's Executive Chair.
Thanks to Evershed Sutherland, Ireland's largest and most established global law firm, with full service teams for your legal and tax solutions.
And I'm delighted to welcome to the Executive Chair, Claire McHugh. She's the CEO and co-founder of Axonista. Claire, you're very welcome to the programme.
I'm delighted to be here. Thank you for having me back.
Well, lovely to see you this morning. We'll get to Axonista as we chat, but I want to bring you back to Bray, County Wicklow. You were from a creative family.
Yes.
And your early years, you worked, I think, in a family fashion shop.
It wasn't my family fashion shop, but it was family run.
Yeah. Tell us about that.
Oh, my God. And I was still at school at that stage. So that was like the weekend job. And I worked there with a couple of girls from school and one of my best friends, who's still my best friend today. And you know what? It was fantastic to be able to work with the founders of the business. And I think that's really where I sort of saw that for the first time, even though it was like a, you know, it was a big fashion shop in Bray. And, you know, every morning we go in and we'd be slightly hungover at that time, you know, and we'd also kind of put on the CD. It'd be the same tune and we'd be like, oh, and if, you know, if I hear Hadaway, What Is Love, any time now, I kind of go back into that moment.
Like, so you remember, now we nearly lost you to rock and roll because I think after leaving CERT, you went to Blanchardstown to study, was it
Ballyfermot. It's the rock school in Ballyfermot, which is still going today, but it may have been in its like first or second year when we were there. And actually, like, some great people have come out of there who were in, you know, in that kind of network, including Damien Dempsey, who's fantastic. But, you know, it was a really interesting creative mix of people in the place where Ballyfermot was also doing that animation stuff at the time, you know. So it was a really, really cool place to be inspired.
Yeah, and you describe yourself as a high achiever at school, but you dropped out of university to work in digital tech companies.
Yes.
Maybe talk to us, how did that happen? Did you just decide that the world of academia wasn't really for you and you wanted to just get stuck in earlier?
I'd made the wrong decision.
Yeah.
I think, I was doing communications in DIT. And that's what I wanted to do. But when I got in there, I realised this isn't for me. So I told my parents, who are not best pleased, but incredibly supportive.
It doesn't tend to go down great, that sort of news.
But I did it early. And I was like, look, I really think I've made the wrong decision here. Can I, you know, back out of it and see? I'm more interested in, there's interesting things going on in the web and all of these new technologies that were happening at the time. And I was kind of interested to get involved in technology.
Yeah. And I know you ended up in Setanta Sports.
I did.
Where did you work before that?
I worked in a couple of companies, Nebula Technologies and Ebion, which, and both of those companies went on to, like, all of the people that I worked with founded lots of companies in Ireland.
Yeah.
Like, I think if you look back to those days and those early Irish tech companies, you will see a lot, like a big ecosystem emerge over time. And those, you know, those have been very successful founders from those companies.
Okay. So when you started in Setanta then, what was your role?
I did. I mean, look, when I started in Setanta, Setanta was just moving from being sort of like a media company, but that was doing like Vodafone text updates and that type of thing on your phone. But then it went into TV in a much more serious way. And that was the time in which I was there, you know. So it was a big change and a transformation for that company. And we got all of these people who were former RTE execs and, you know, really working at the very start of TV and really inspirational people that we got to work with to set up this new television company. So I was in a few different places. Literally, I put my hand up for something. They were like, off you go, do that. So I worked in the commercial department, worked in the operations department, worked in programming. And that's where I kind of ended up being in that place where we weren't negotiating the contracts, but we were processing them and understanding them and making it happen. So really making sure that television happened.
Yeah, it is a great experience, is it not, to be part of a startup that's successful and becomes maybe something that it didn't set out to be.
Yeah.
And to be on that journey. How many years were you there?
I was there 8 years.
Yeah.
So quite a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and it was fantastic to see it. And they were really inspirational as founders because they were in the business. They gave people chances to do things and prove themselves. And you know, it was a little bit hairy at times. It's like, how do we do these things? Yeah. We don't know. We're going into it for the new time. But that energy was fantastic, you know, and it's still a place where a lot of people have gone on to have excellent broadcast careers from there as well.
Yeah. Were you always, did you always have one eye on maybe doing something for yourself or starting up your own thing? Or did it come out of circumstance?
I don't think I thought that. I think it was just from seeing it happen, like seeing it a few times from other people doing it. That was like, you know what, they're excellent people. But it looks like anyone can kind of do this. And I think you, to be a founder, you kind of need to have a thing that you're really passionate about solving. And for me, it was having worked in Setanta over those 8 years and seeing how TV was actually transforming and seeing how, you know, there was better internet that would support lots of different types of viewing experiences. There was tons of different devices coming in to the market. Like the iPhone was a big thing. Yeah. And being able to touch a screen and interact with the video and it not be just a one-way experience anymore was very, very compelling. And it was compelling enough to found something.
Okay. So off you went and you co-founded it.
Yes.
Axonista.
Yeah.
And as I understand, what you do is you help video streaming companies to develop their products cost effectively.
Absolutely.
Maybe walk me through that. Is that the whole area of video commerce, online sales?
So
by using video as the platform.
Yeah. So like really the companies that choose us are companies that have video at the heart of the strategy that they're implementing. And a lot of them are media companies. So like player apps. So for example, Virgin Media Ireland.
Yeah.
That they use us for that. But also, you know, anyone who is kind of doing retail media for the first time, like they might be a retailer, they might be trying to bring a video experience to market in some way, they might use us to figure out how to do that. And a big example of that, like a customer that we have had for a long time is QVC in the US. So our focus is very much in the US market, but we also do stuff locally as well.
Yeah, the QVC thing is quite fascinating in a way. It tends to be much more American than it is European, hence I suppose your participation in the US media market. What do you attest to that? Why is it so much popular, more popular in the States than it would be here?
Like video commerce is massively popular in China. Like that's really like where it's taken off over the last few years by storm. It's been something that like sort of the TV advertising piece of it that everyone knows QVC for, and they've been doing, they were innovating in this 40 years ago, you know. And it's, I think it's because the size of the market's big, audiences are bigger. There were many more channels at that time. You needed to have more things on. So there were opportunities to do that kind of video commerce.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's not popular here. I think you'll see it here coming through social commerce is something that's really starting to take off.
It's consumed slightly differently, is that it? Or
any experience that you can have a video where you're selling something, and even if it's somebody like with someone from their store explaining how to use a product, and you make that very easy for an audience to tap and buy it maybe on their mobile phone that they're already on, that's a very quick sale. You know? It's a quicker one, and I think that will come over the next 10 years here. You'll see a lot more of that.
What about channels like Instagram, for instance, where, you know, you're going down through your Instagram feed and all of a sudden something that you might be interested in, you know, you're hooked into maybe buying something through that platform. Is that an area where you advise clients to be very visible?
I think it's about distribution, right? Like, you know, you kind of have to be everywhere as a brand.
Right.
But make the choices strategically about where you want your customer to be. Is what I want to say. So where you want the purchase to take place, is it on your own store or website? And, you know, it's better to do that because you can kind of build up a better data set for yourself later on. If you are reliant on other platforms completely, then if those platforms change, that could have a severe knock on to your business. Like we saw a few years ago when Facebook changed their algorithm and a lot of companies just went bust overnight. You know, so I think it's really thinking about how you can best use these platforms for your audience, and are they using them in the first place? So I'm a big Instagram user. And I love it, but I don't find the shop experience particularly good. In fact, I'll always go to the website and open it in a different browser before I do.
I'm the same. I've never bought anything via Instagram, but I might. It might divert me somewhere else.
Yeah, so you might find something there, and I think that's really what it's for.
So is there video in its purity then? Does it need to be sort of articulated differently for each of the platforms? So if you're making a video to sell a product, for instance, mm-hmm. is it a different video for Instagram versus LinkedIn versus...
So... little bit, but not necessarily. You have to think about what works best on all those platforms. How long the audience is going to be watching it for. And I think you can do a lot with technology now where you can take a video asset and shorten it, clip it, you know, do something with it, make it a bit more fit for whatever platform it is you're using. Now, a lot of companies are in place that actually do that. And AI is going to make that a lot easier as well. You know, pick out the bits. Yeah. And then you can like just put them onto the other platforms. So I think that's not the real piece that we do. We enable companies to do that for sure, but we're way more part of the infrastructure of their product.
Sure. So the world of, I suppose, social media, of advertising, mm. of video, of e-commerce has changed so rapidly in the last number of years, and companies like Axonista have changed with it.
Yes.
What do you see now as you look forward? Where are you going to go next, do you think? Maybe you don't know, but where do you think the world of, you know, video commerce, etc., is going to go?
I think we're finding a lot of our focus right now is really on helping US media companies solve their profitability problem, as I would say, because everyone jumped into streaming after Netflix, but did it in a way where, you know, they weren't really understanding what they were jumping into necessarily. Now they have product businesses that they didn't expect to have, and we're helping them like figure that out and do that in a cost-effective way. And there's a ton of work there for us to do, right? And also then we're looking at retail and education as two really, really interesting verticals for us where there's naturally an interactive nature to the video experience. And that's where we're focusing our energy right now.
Right.
Yeah. But I think AI is very, very interesting. We're on another cusp of a sea change in technology.
And what will it do? Where will it impact your business, do you think?
So the first thing we're thinking about is like, okay, how do we get our team AI enabled to be just more efficient generally? And what tools can we use? And we're a remote first team, so we use a lot of collaboration tools. So we're looking at the tools that we use, what they're bringing on, and, you know, educating everybody about it, really. The second thing is then like, how do we help our customers use it? And then it's like, you know, probably a bit more about efficiency, like describing the shortening down of videos into other video assets being one. So like it's we haven't really started to use the generative AI stuff yet, but I've seen what gen AI video can do, and it's kind of amazing.
Okay, right? Well, yeah. it's a fascinating. Finally, you're an experienced traveler. You're somebody who's been to many countries, and you visited 5 of the 7 wonders of the world. The Colosseum in Italy, Machu Picchu, Taj Mahal. 2 still left on the list. Which are?
I haven't been to Petra in Jordan, though I've been very close by, and I haven't been to the Christ the Redeemer in Rio.
Yeah.
Yes.
So are they on the bucket list?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, look. Claire McHugh, CEO and co-founder of Axonista. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
News Talk's Executive Chair.
Thanks to Evershed Sutherland, Ireland's largest and most established global law firm, with full service teams for your legal and tax solutions.